This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Hey there, Milers. Welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos, with me today on a special WDW 101 COVID edition is my dear friend from MEI and Mass Fan Travel, Becky Menken. Hi, Becky. Welcome back.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be back again. And it seems like there's the two talking heads this time. But yeah. I got to say, I'm really, really, really happy that you guys brought this back because I've missed listening to your voices. So thank you for having me. And I'm kind of excited to talk about something that I'm dying to go see because I miss it so much.
Yeah. Mike and Michelle are taking some time off as we get this thing up and running again. So Becky has been gracious enough.
I'm the fill-in.
No, you're. I feel like you and I are the understudy, Mike and Michelle.
There we go. All right, we're the understudies. That works.
You get to the play on Broadway, and you're expecting, you know, Lin-Manuel and, you know, Leslie Odom, and you get like Bob and Martha. So
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So, so we figured this we'd make the best of this, and what we're going to do is, you know, some people are still talking about going to Disney, and we kind of figured maybe it was a good opportunity to give our listeners a chance to get some ideas of how to do this. And, you know, and even if you have friends or family that are planning to do this, you can send them this podcast and let them get an idea of what's up.
The crazy thing right now, and I say crazy because, of course, I'm used to going all the time, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of families and a lot of people who've never had the opportunity to visit Walt Disney World, or maybe they did and it was years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And with the COVID situation, of course, it's changed things a little bit, made people think maybe I shouldn't go, but there's a lot of people who are taking advantage of this opportunity to have parks that are walk on almost everything. So right. I've been spending a lot of time lately talking to clients who've maybe they're cruisers or maybe they've gone to Europe a lot, but they have not been to Walt Disney World in a while, and talking them through what the picture currently is. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely an opportunity. I feel like, you know, obviously for safety matters, yes, be careful when you go, wear your mask, wash your hands, be a social distance. But I it reminds me of going to the parks on a rainy day. Like, you got to wear, you know, some rain gear, but the rides are open. There are a lot of opportunities to really kind of ram through the whole parks and see a lot of things. But you got to be smart about it, because there's going to be so much more to think about than what we normally think about when we go to the parks. So I'm going to basically be your voice and ask Becky, who and her team are probably the people you really want. I'm going to, and this is not an ad for them, but it's definitely when you need to know specific information, always get a travel agent like MEI, Mass Fan Travel. These people know what's going on. They keep on top of things. So rule number one in WDW 101 COVID edition is get yourself a travel agent. What do you guys call? You don't call yourself travel agents.
No, it's travel advisor or vacation planners, because a travel agent takes you back to being an order taker, right? Where you basically call and somebody says, okay, yeah, I'll book you on that. And and here's your ticket and you're done. Right. So travel advisors or vacation planners kind of set us apart to the amount of knowledge we have and the amount of consulting that we can do or the expertise that we can provide.
Yeah, because I have a tendency to like not know the answer to things and I ask you. So you are a consultant in a sense. Like, you know, what do I do here? I want to get from the airport to the hotel. What do I do? And you and your team will give me sort of the choices and what works best for me. So we're going to, I have a list. We're probably going to do a couple episodes. I think this episode is going to be more about the planning.
Okay.
In terms of going down there. And then the next one we'll do once you're there, what to do. So we're at a point now. First things first, time of year. When I think now, anytime is really good, but it's going to be hard. What's the best time of year for a trip right now?
Well, you know what? You kind of hit the nail on the head really quickly. There's any time of year is really a great time to go to Disney because, heck, it's Disney, right?
Right. Yeah.
But each individual is going to be driven by their own personal circumstances. So, for example, those who have school-age kids, they're not going to be able to just take them out for a week and go to Disney. Now, in a COVID world, when they're working from home or have assignments that are a little bit flexible in some school districts, because I know others are not being flexible at all, you can, of course, do that. But some people are going to have to stick with those higher seasons or, you know, the summer season that we just kind of passed when the parks opened. Sometimes they're not the best times to go to Florida because it is so hot and humid and uncomfortable. But that's also the time of year when you can go because your kids are out of school.
Are we also hitting hurricane season right now too?
Yeah. Well, see, hurricane season right now has kind of grown in size. Typically, hurricane season starts on June 1st and goes all the way to November 30th.
Oh, wow.
But the highest concentration of storms typically land in that middle of August to the 1st of October time period. Mm. So, of course, that's also when the rates are the lowest because
of course.
Kids are in school. And there's the possibility of more storms. Of course, some people, believe it or not, we still have people who call us and wonder if Orlando is right on the coast and they can see the ocean. When in fact, Orlando is like smack dab in the middle of Florida. So yeah you do get storms, but you're not going to get hit like, say, Miami does or some of the shoreside locations. But I tend to find that the lowest crowds typically be, let's say, outside of COVID, pre-COVID, or anytime school is in session. But the lowest tends to be January after marathon. And that would be like the middle of January to the end of January. May, like early May, and then early December tend to be the lowest in terms of crowds and some of the most comfortable times for weather too.
Right. That's the big thing too. I think that's the thing this time. I mean, the crowds are going to be low right now, no matter what.
Right. Exactly.
But I think, you know, even more vacant, you're going to have more space and more ability to kind of run through a park during those times. So what about length of stay? Like nowadays, you know, normally like I would go for 2 weeks, but with this new system that they're doing, what do you recommend as the length of stay for, you know, a family coming down?
You know, this again depends on how you want to do the parks and how your family is when it comes to vacations, because we have some that will go down, they want some resort time. They want not all parks all the time every day. They may want to go out to Kennedy Space Center. They might want to go and see other attractions in the area. So if it's not just Disney or they want 1 or 2 days doing other things, a 7-day stay for a first timer is a good sweet spot. Some will go for 5 nights. I kind of go for the 6-night, 7-day to start. That's a great kind of place where you got a day where you can relax at the pool. You can see the 4 theme parks because now you can't theme or you can't park hop. So you do kind of have to plan a park per day and then work around that. So and because the crowds are lower, you can also do many more things and go through other, you know, the attractions pretty quickly because you don't have 90-minute wait times. So I'm going to stick with that 6 or 7 night is a good sweet spot, but I honestly can say that you're not going to see it all regardless. And even post-COVID, for a first timer, that 7-night scenario is probably a good rule of thumb as well.
Is that a financial benefit too? Like, is there like, you know, 3, 5, 7 days, is there a cost difference that's going to make it better for you?
The tickets. The more you play, the lower you pay is how Disney puts it. Yeah. So if you have a 6-day ticket or a 7-day ticket, that price is going to come down. And the other thing too, is if you're going in 2020, you're limited to a 7-day ticket. If you go into 2021, that goes up into a 10-day ticket. So there is a little bit depending on when you're going as well.
Oh, see, interesting. I didn't know that part either. See, I'm learning all new things. So nowadays, too, the question I have is, how far in advance do you book? Like, obviously, there are concerns. Obviously, beyond airfare and mm-hmm. and getting a flight down, what kind of plans do you need to make in advance for your trip?
And this is what I'll say always, all the time. You can't wait for last minute deals anymore. And that's true with cruising. That's true with theme parks. That's true with hotels. Because most times, especially now, a lot of the suppliers have become very flexible in what they are going to allow in terms of cost and adjusting rates. So for example, you want to book as early as you can. When you know you're going to go, book it. Mm-hmm. If the rates go down, and not for a shameless plug, but if you
plug away, sister.
I know. If you use a fee-free travel advisor, and I want to say fee-free because not all are, ooh, but if you use a fee-free travel advisor like we are, we'll adjust the rates if they go down, and then you're mm-hmm. price protected. For example, this week, Disney came out with a whole slew of brand new offers, and it was amazing. We saw savings that we applied to people who had existing reservations. We were saving people $1,000 on their trip, all the way up to $3,300 wow. savings on a trip. So yeah. you just want to make sure that you book early. That way you yeah. get the availability and you get the space you want. But then you can adjust the price if it does go down. There are yeah. some tricky pieces to this too now, because when you look at the school breaks, availability is always an issue. But in a COVID world, many resorts are shut down. So not yeah. all the availability is actually there. So it's going to be a little more tight. And in 2021, people are already booking. And you can already yeah. make all your arrangements for 2020, not all, but most of your arrangements for 2021. And the resorts are closed. So it's lower availability, right. higher demand that we're starting to see. Mm. So if you're thinking about going in summer of 2021, you might already be a little late to the game.
Right. I mean, I will say as somebody who has used your services that, I have seen that savings. Like I've gotten that email, which is like, you just saved $3,000. I mean, literally, like, you know, that was a pre-COVID world, but yeah. But yeah, the big thing, I guess the big question that we said is like, so now we don't have a full choice of hotels.
Right.
You know, some are closed. Like we had booked, the yacht club for our summer trip. And then we canceled, obviously, because it was just too crazy, but it wasn't even open by that point. It would not have been open.
Right.
So, so what are some of the hotels that are not available right now?
Oh my gosh.
Tell me what is available. Is it easier to say what is available?
And actually it's getting better. Okay. I can tell you that right now, all of the Disney, villa properties, also known as DVC, but I don't like to call them DVC properties because people who are new or people who have never been there mm-hmm. assume that you have to be a member to stay there. And that's not the case whatsoever. And it's probably one of the biggest misnomers in Disney travel planning. Right. So I always call them villas. These are the villa properties. They are all open right now and accepting guests. There's also some of the deluxe properties are open and some are opening soon. Like September 21st, we have the Grand Floridian's opening, October 14th, Coronado Springs, November 1st, Disney's Art of Animation. And one of the ones that everybody kind of freaked out a little bit about was that they learned the Polynesian Village Resort will not be opening until next summer.
Oh, man.
So their villa properties are open, but Disney's taking this opportunity to do some updates and some refurbs to the Polynesian Resort. So good
I
for them.
I want Trader Sam's. I want to go to Trader Sam's.
I want a bigger Trader Sam's. I think that it's too small.
I know.
It needs to be larger. Some of the other ones that aren't open, the Beach Club is not available at this point. Boardwalk Inn is not. So it kind of is a little bit of a mishmash right now.
Right.
The value properties. There's only one that's open currently. And again, Art of Animation opens later on in the year. So it's causing a little bit of a dance to kind of figure out where to stay, because there's just not as much in terms of availability.
Right. Yeah. So it's you got to learn to be a little bit forgiving when it comes to which hotels you want to stay at. Like,
right.
We're very particular. We love the Yacht Club, and it's either Yacht Club or nothing.
I know.
And yeah, I know, you know. And so, you know, you have to give yourself a little bit of a break. If you want to go down there and it's not the hotel you want, sometimes you might have to suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider though, when you're looking at your choice of hotels, and pre or post COVID world, let's say the availability, but you also have the great thing about Walt Disney World is they do have many options to fit the need and the budget, but the things you need to consider are like consider the location proximity to the parks that you're going to spend the most time in. So if you're a family with a few little ones who are probably going to spend more days in Magic Kingdom than you will the other parks, you're probably going to want to try to stay somewhere that's a little closer to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And take in consideration those transportation options as well. And then also, some people, it's all about the resort and the parks are secondary. They want to go and enjoy the services, the pool amenities, the things that are available at the resorts. And the parks are kind of like we'll go to the park today. But they really, like, you're a great example. You guys love the pool. Mm-hmm. That's just something you want to kind of take in consideration. But others are like, I am all about the parks. Rope drop to the end of the day, I am going to be in that park. So would you really want to shell out the money for a deluxe resort or a villa resort if you're not going to spend any time there, right?
Right. We do that dance all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we sleep in our hotel room and we're there never at any time during the day. So we always, you know, you always try to tell us, oh, go up to the concierge level. And I'm like, I'm not there enough to care. You know, I'll go to it. I want a nice room where like the four of us can sleep, but that's it. Like, and we're out. So yeah, that's definitely a consideration.
For you, it's all about proximity. That's the big telltale of telltale.
Well, with us, it's, you know, it is, especially now the kids are 21. It's the proximity to Epcot and having World Showcase and going around and having a beverage or two at night. And I used to love the fireworks there. So that was the thing. But, speaking of which, the parks, being a park lover, we now, you know, obviously we used to book your park tickets, you know, and you get your passes, but it's different now. You don't get to do the park hopping. So tell me what's different now. Like, so if I were not an annual pass holder and I was going to buy my tickets, what's the process? What do I have to do here?
Well, one of the things is that there's a strategy now, or there used to be a much more complicated strategy, because it would become how many days you're going to stay. And if you're going to stay so many days, then the amount that you would spend for a ticket, you could apply to an annual pass, and maybe the annual pass is a better option, but annual passes right now are not available for sale. So it has actually simplified that a little bit for the time being. But my big thing right now is if you're going for the very first time, you're going to spend 3 to 7 days there, get a package. Go ahead and go for the hotel and the package. That way you do get the savings on the ticket. You probably will see some savings on your hotel stay. And they do have some benefits that you can take advantage of within a package too, that's very helpful. When you do a package as well, your reservation is automatically attached to the My Disney Experience app, which is becoming like the thing that you have to have to visit Walt Disney World, because it's your everything. It's got your tickets in it, which then allows you to book the park passes, which are now the new thing that we're all getting used to.
So if I didn't have an advisor, I would have to make my park pass choices through the app?
Yes. And even with an advisor, I love explaining this to people, because we do want to do as much of the legwork that you want us to do. However, Disney has embedded their COVID waiver in the park pass. So you actually have to legally accept the risk of being there and being exposed to COVID, which we can't do that for you.
Right. But that's the difference. That's the change. That's what I'm talking about. Like it's sort of, it's different from the way it used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's interesting in that, you know, there's certain things you just can't do, like, you know,
but we can walk you through it and we can handhold you through the process and make sure you don't miss it, because we actually have had people, we've booked the package. We've told them about the park pass, but it doesn't register with people who aren't tuned into Disney that that's a requirement.
Yeah.
So some people have shown up at the parks, not our clients, thankfully, but others show up at the park and go through security and are like, what do you mean I can't come in? Because they didn't realize that that's something you have to do prior.
Right.
Because people just aren't used to that. So it's, again, another piece of the planning or how the changes that are occurring while you would like to have the assistance of an advisor just to make sure you're not missing any of these steps.
Right. And then you have to obviously book. Now, I haven't used it. So do you have to book each individual park?
Yes. You have to
book. As you go.
Each park, each day. So you hit the calendar and you can see it beforehand. So you know when we hold a package for you, we can let you know if what parks are going to be available each day. Mm-hmm. And right now, you can book your park passes all the way up until September 26th of 2021.
Right.
So people are already booking what's available out there. And we're hoping that this COVID thing will hopefully go away, or we get, you know, some
vaccine
immunization or something. But between now and then, as they have this lower park capacity, you're kind of up against the availability calendar.
What is it? Is it 25% capacity, or what's the capacity?
They haven't officially said. However, we're kind of under the impression that they're working with a 30% capacity, just from the things that we've heard from the state and when they've been giving their recommendations and doing their talks about it. So
the best bet is to get in there and book it when you can, just for fear that it may sell out at a certain point.
And a lot of them have been, but they got three different buckets too. So here's the benefit of having one of those package. If you're a resort guest, you have a different bucket of availability than you would if you're an AP holder, an annual pass, than you would if you're just holding tickets.
Okay.
So you got a much better chance of getting one of those reservations in on one of those days when it's kind of getting lower in capacity if you're actually staying on property.
Interesting.
That's a benefit.
Okay. There you go. So,
Can I throw in something else too?
Yeah, please. This is what it's about.
Yeah. Another thing that Disney has come out with is they are waiving all of their Disney change and cancellation fees for arrival through December 31st. So anytime, if you want to travel in 2020 and you kind of get down to a few days beforehand and you're not quite sure, or you know, there's an outbreak somewhere or just something occurs and you don't want to travel, you can't. They're waiving all their change and cancellation fees at this point.
Oh, that's amazing. That's good. So, okay. So say we've booked our 7-day trip. You can just choose every day. You can choose a different park, right? There's no limit. Like you can't just, you know, cause I think in the fast passes, you have to you have to book three. And then once you're there, you have to book more, but it's not like that. You can book each day of your trip.
Every day of your ticket. So if you have a package and you have a 6-day ticket, you can book 6 days of reservations.
Parks. Okay. Got it. All right. So now in the past, obviously, like you get, I don't know, how many days out you can get your fast passes? You can, in the normal world, the pre-world, it was what, 90 days out?
You can 90.
I know. Two of us are like,
oh my gosh, all of a sudden I forgot because I haven't had to deal with fast passes for 6 months.
I used to do that. I used to like put in like a reminder on my calendar to start booking.
108, I don't know.
Is it 180 days out or is it 90 days for dining? And I know. See, that's
it's
why
we're 180 for dining. I do know that. But now that's changed. It's 60 for dining. And it's interesting because they're now starting to align themselves with the time period of Disneyland. Disneyland is and has been 60 days for dining and the same for making some of the the pre-arrangements that you want to make. So, and they have a cool thing called MaxPass, which, all right, between you and me, I think that some of the elements of MaxPass might end up at Disney World when we're through all of this.
Ooh, we're gonna have to talk about Max Passes soon, then, I guess.
I'm guessing. I don't have.
I know you don't have inside knowledge, but
it's really, really successful at Disneyland. So I think that Disney may have learned something. It costs a little bit of money too, so they have some financial incentive. But you do get much more than.
I was gonna say it sounds like it was the Universal, whatever they call those, the passes Express Pass that you spend a lot more money and you can ride every ride as soon as you get there. And I'm not saying Disney is doing that. I'm saying there's an upcharge. Like you can buy a higher rate and get certain passes and certain privileges. So speaking of which, the fast passes, are we still at a level where we can book them ahead of time? And at this point, do you even need them?
Well, you can't book them anyway, even if you wanted to.
Okay, so they're not even there.
Yeah, fast passes have been paused. They're currently not available.
Okay.
When it returns, again, it might end up looking different. It might be FastPass for 2021, but it really wouldn't surprise me if we see some changes with it. It's been it's been successful, but there's been a lot of problems with it too, because like you said, you get three that you have to book way in advance, and sometimes you miss out on a couple of the e-tickets because you only get one. It hasn't been the highest guest satisfaction piece. So who knows? Okay. That might change.
Hey, look, I was not a fan of the new FastPass system, but I felt like it made every ride a 50-minute wait instead of I can't go on Splash Mountain, but I can go to Pirates because it's a 5-minute wait. Now it's like you go to Pirates and it's a 40-minute wait. So I'm all for fixing that system. So you'll when you book, you'll still get a Magic Band, right?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want one, they're not shipping them anymore.
That's what I'm asking. I don't know. Will they have them at the hotel when you arrive, type of thing? And I know this is one of those things.
I want to make sure that I know for sure, because I know that there have been some changes in the Magic Band. You can still get a card though when you check in, what they're trying to do is move everything as much as possible to being when you get there, everything's taken care of. So you can use your Magic Band if you've got it. To unlock your door, but they also have a digital key now that they can use. So
it's definitely it's sort of, that's what the thing is with all of this is everything's so in flux. Like you know, it changes from day to day. They'll change their rules from day to day.
Exactly.
So you have to be, and obviously I want you to be careful, not give false information or something that you didn't know was.
Yeah. I've got it in front of me now. I just wanted to make sure that I had the latest and greatest, because like you said, it seems every week things are definitely changing. So
but they have to.
If you're, you will automatically receive a Magic Band if you're a Walt Disney World annual pass holder. So that's like one of the benefits of being an AP holder. Guests can purchase Magic Bands online from Shop Disney. You just won't get that for free, or at select Walt Disney World shops when you get there. Right. And they do have some really cool.
I know. I already bought. I bought some for this trip that I didn't go on that I was very excited to use. But also, if you've already gone and you have your Magic Band, you can keep using those. Nothing stops you from using those.
Absolutely, until the batteries go out. But which is supposed to be at 3 years or something on those things. But Disney Resort hotel guests with an arrival date through December 31st, 2020 will receive the complimentary Magic Bands, but they will no longer be provided on a complimentary basis for new reservations that arrive after January 1st. So that's the distinction, is of course the date. I think we're all ready to be done with 2020.
I know. End it now.
But guests will still have the option to purchase at that time, of course, there. But they're just not going to do the complimentary ones any longer.
Okay, I think we're going to stop it there. And we're going to come back next week with the rest of our conversation with Becky Menken. So on behalf of Mike Scopa, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Becky Menken, I'm Chris Heliopoulos. We'll see you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.